The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you, and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. Amen. Family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you. He is for you, 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 he is for you. Amen. 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 Oh, amen. His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.
Thank you, Primo. Everyone loves that chant.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Brings us back to our roots without anything hanging on. It just takes you right to your heart. You don't have to analyze the words or decide whether it's a he or a she or any of that nonsense. It just takes you to your heart. That's right. And you do it very, very well. And thank you so much for that.
Mm-hmm. My heart, you are.
Vice versa. Mm. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Paramatma Ki Jai. Gurudev Bhagwan Ki Jai. Satchasanga Ki Jai. Mm-hmm. So it means, for those who've never heard it before, Om Shri Satche, Om is everything that ever has been, never will be in the physical and non-physical world. That's the fundamental frequency of everything. Shri means venerable. Satcha means the truth that cannot be denied in anyone and is not equal in anyone, but is the total and absolute truth. Satche Maha Prabhu means the great being. Victory to that truth within you, victory to all of it, that you come to see, and that which you don't come to see, which is governing your heart. Om Shri Satche Maha Prabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, that great soul within you, that great soul within you, victory. Gurudev Bhagwan Ki Jai, victory to the Guru that dwells within your heart, that guides you, whether person or intimate, or nature. Om Shri Satche Maha Prabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Gurudev Bhagwan Ki Jai, and Satcha Sangha Ki Jai, and victory to all of you. Just to explain it for those who always that say, oh, what's she saying at the time? That's our ashram seal. It belongs to Satcha. And Satcha belongs to everyone. That's the way that is. So, renunciation. Let's speak about it for a moment again. Because let me see if I can, I don't know if I can draw it up. Maybe I just have to. Shri wrote to me last week and said, Bodhidharma says there is no renunciation, but Krishna doesn't. Not yet. Not yet. He might even say it in some kind of way in the Bhagavad Gita where you have to be able to understand it first, that there is no renunciation. That's because he's emptied out Bodhidharma's emptied out everything as illusion, infinite immortality, shifting and emptiness, which all shifts take part in. Everything takes, has its being in what could be called emptiness. The great imperishable, which all beings are, and it would be great when all beings realize that. It'd be great when you realize that. So Bodhidharma is not incorrect, neither is Krishna. So that brings us back to, what's his name, the Danish guy? What's his name again? I'm always saying
Niels.
This. Niels, I always call him Jules because he is a jewel. But Niels Bohr, this brings us back to Niels Bohr. Krishna says this, Bodhidharma says that, and Niels Bohr says, and he is so, talk about a razor's edge. Niels Bohr says a opposite from a true statement, or a false statement is a true statement. Is that true? Sure. Then the opposite from a profound truth may well be another profound truth. So it's very important to hold this to your heart, because you're not always right. And sometimes your rightness actually has an opposition that is exactly as right as your statement. That's not easy to figure when you stand up for yourself and yourself alone and are guarded. You're not going to understand that. You can hear it and understand it. But when it applies to your life, it'll be something different, because you're guarded and you're always right. And if you're not right, you've failed. Well, that's nonsense. So give up that. There's a renunciation for you. So Bodhidharma, if you remember the story of Bodhidharma, Bodhidharma, Emperor Wu ran into Bodhidharma and thought, well, this is a very interesting guy. He doesn't have any eyelids. Bodhidharma took his eyelids off so he wouldn't fall asleep in satsang. No, meditation. Meditation. And where his eyelids dropped, tea bushes came up. So that's where tea's from. Bodhidharma's eyelids, so that you stay awake, right? Awake, right? Excuse me. Got me. A bit of a... Anyhow. Emperor Wu was very fascinated by Bodhidharma. He said to Bodhidharma, who is before me? Bodhidharma looked at him and said, I don't know. Who are you? I don't know. Absolutely correct out of an enlightened soul. And you know less and less, and what comes through you is more and more accurate. And you're going to be sure of your language. You're going to be very careful about how you deliver your message to anyone, because it's up to them whether they accept it or not. And you would like to plant the seed. You have planted the seed. Out of your kindness or your generosity or your love or your care, isn't it? It's up to them whether they take it or not, but you should be very, 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 very clear about how you speak so that the receptivity is open. So Bodhidharma said, I don't know who I am. I don't know. That's accurate. When you all these stories about you knowing who you are, in the end, you'll go, I cannot say a word in the field of knowing. And knowing is very important. So, well, Emperor Wu went back to his palace and said, there's some stupid idiot who I thought he was really great, and he was on the pathway, and I asked him who he was, and he said, I don't know. And His minister said, oh, you just have had the darshan of Avalokiteshvara. And Bodhidharma said, really? And he says, bring him back to me, bring him back to me. So the minister went out and he asked Bodhidharma if he would grace the Emperor Wu with his presence. And he said, yes, he would. So he went to Emperor Wu, and Emperor Wu said, I have a big problem, Bodhidharma. He said, my mind is just filled with and always going and going and going and going. And can you help me? And Bodhidharma said, well, let's see if I can help you. He said, bring me your mind. Emperor Wu woke up right that moment. Not just wake up, he was enlightened. That was the end of that. Because he understood perfectly that there's no substance to the mind, but there is mystery. And Bodhidharma, rather than calling the entire universal central imperishable that has created the creator, God, the Chan masters would say that was the one mind. So what's the point? The point is that Bodhidharma may say this and Krishna may say that, and both are true. Extreme accuracy on both parts. So renunciation gives you the opportunity, to bring your ability to a very fine, and very strong skillfulness. In Buddhism, they call it skillfulness. So will you renounce one thing, that one irritation in your heart and soul just to hone your skill? Honing means sharpening like a knife. You hone the knife. So honing your skill means sharpening your intelligence skill, rather than defending yourself or pushing yourself, but finding out what it is within you that is insightful. Generally gracious, sometimes makes stupid mistakes. All of it's fine. It's all bringing you to another possibility, another potential. And anytime you want to pick it up, there it is. So renunciation, I renounce. Well, Shantimai is renounced, so we can talk about her for a minute. Who's she? In my own sadhana, I had the opportunity, mind you, to renounce hatred. I say it took years. It was constant. It was watching the language. It was 100%. I didn't want anything to do with it. So I renounced the word. It became meaningless to me. And people say, how do you love? Well, you just don't hate. Just take hatred off your out of your heart and soul. And irritation will be there, and frustration will be there, and disagreement will be there. But you cannot hate anyone for any reason whatsoever, because you love God's creation. I'm going to push this and speak about it until it really seeps into your heart and soul, if you want it to. If you don't, then there you are. So everything is if you want it to. Nothing is you. It's all up to you. That's the beauty of it. And this journey is, well, it's wonderful. And it's very, very clear. Very clear and very skillful. Very skillful. And sometimes also I've seen that people might sabotage themselves by not seeing what they have and wanting it another way. And everything is brought to you. And you have to work for it. That's the way it is on Earth. No?
Yes.
Yeah, whether you're talking about a job or whether you're talking about honing your skill or whether you're talking about going to the grocery store for food, whatever you're talking about, you have to work for it. You have to go. This is a very strange realm, I'll tell you. It would be, in my estimation, it would be the saddest thing in the whole universe. It would be an ocean of tears not to realize yourself by guarding yourself. Not to realize yourself by always thinking that you have the solution and that you're still in some kind of confusion. When you're clear, you're clear. And you get clearer and clearer, and you don't mind saying, I just am not correct this time. Just not. Good. I'm really glad about that. I'm so glad that I found out. But our status quo, our identity rests in being always the one who knows. Bodhidharma didn't even know who he was. Okay, so. Let's see if there are any hands up. No, satsang's over. Namaste. Oh, there's a. Namaste, everyone. Hey, Ken Chui. Oh, I love the background.
Yes.
Ask you, are you not having the background because you took the big purple flower down?
Oh, no. The big purple flower is always there. I can never take it down.
How are you doing these great cosmic? I mean, you look good in it. You look like an astronaut.
Oh, there you go. I thought I'd mix it up a little.
Nice. I'm going to do that too. I'm going to find.
Yes.
I'm going to have a big background of Maharaji there.
Oh, that's always beautiful. Yeah. Your brother's very skillful art.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good, Guruji. Thank you. I'd just like to ask you about the Mahakumbha Mela, because if I remember correctly, you're not into crowds. And that is like, wow, millions and millions of people there. So what is the significance of the Mahakumbha Mela, Guruji?
Well, it is a gathering of probably the most astute and greatest souls on earth. Mixed with others.
Yes. As always.
And that this has been going on for, I've heard anywhere, I've heard 65,000 years, because it's mentioned in the Ramayana and it's mentioned in the Upanishads, and Upanishads are said to be much older than 4,000 years. I don't know all of that. But it's been going on a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy of the Kumbh Mela is incredible. The Naga Babas, these guys are incredible. And they walk the whole life naked. And they're so powerful. They have this one particular group of the Naga Babas has a wooden earring, and it's in the ear. If that earring ever gets pulled out of the ear, if anybody can take that earring out of the ear, they say they bury that Nagababa alive. These guys are these are severe human beings. And this guy can walk down the street naked in India and everybody's like, they're no joke. These are really incredible sadhus. And at sunrise or whatever, on one specific day, they even kicked Ananda Maima off the... Somebody wanted to put a picture of Ananda Maima, which is one of the greatest saints that India has ever known, into the Ganges. Just put her picture into the Ganges first. And the Nagababa said, get out of here. And went into, yeah, and went into the Ganges. And they're the first in the Ganges. And I would imagine that the Ganges is just incredibly electrified by their presence. These guys are incredible. And also other great beings there. It's just, it's a few million incredible beings all in one place. Year after year after year after year after year for thousands of years. I'm not, am I for crowds? I go to my room with only 18 people here per always. I stay up in my room. I'm a hermit, to say the least. But I don't want to go to the Kumbh Mela, but you're talking, people have talked me into it, so I'm going.
Oh, we're very fortunate then, Guruji. Very,
well,
very
be prepared. And I don't want to hear any, be prepared for the Kumbh Mela. Be prepared for the toilet space, for the shower space, for the food, all of that. And I don't want to hear any complaining. You complain to Sahara. Oops. or help him out. Him and Will, I think, is going to be there. And Sahara said it would be great if Indra would go early and help out. Arjuna will be there to help. They'll get it together. They're working on it right now. As a matter of fact, India, Sahara was in India a couple weeks ago just to get it solidified. So.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Guruji.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Namaste. Mela?
I am considering, well, yes, seriously, yes. I'll see if work can let me go for that time, that duration.
Okay, well, if I'm going, you should go.
Yes, yes, yeah. Okay. With all the blessings, going, yes.
Yeah, the consideration should be, gosh, if she doesn't want to go and she's going, I'll go
too.
Oh,
yes, 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 yes.
I'm only going to be here for 5 days. I'm heading up to our Lakshmanjula right after that.
Yeah, me too. And then I'll go after a couple of days in Lakshmanjula to see my mother in Malaysia.
Nice.
Yes. Nice. Namaste, Guruji.
Namaste.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Who do we have here?
Namaste, Shanti Mai.
Namaste. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
I'm very happy to connect with you. I don't really have anything to bring, but I wanted to just thank you.
There's no disconnect in the universe. The whole universe is one item. Go ahead.
I think it's to say thank you and to feel, right now I feel the joy of your words and just immense gratitude, and gratitude for India, because I went to India and that was quite an initiation. And
also very beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
The freedom in that culture is incredible.
Yeah.
The corruption is all over the world, and India is not immune of the corruption by far. And yet, if you go there with the right spirit, the freedom that you have is so encouraged by every moment of every day.
Yes.
That's my experience. for 30 years. For 30 years. Go ahead, please.
So in India, I found the people to be so beautiful. Yeah. Just remembering, so I'll speak it, going to this cafe where they are honoring and adoring Hanuman every day. And that was the cafe where I passed out twice when everybody was getting sick. And they were so kind and beautiful, and they brought me back to where I stayed. And it was almost like an kind of blessing of Hanuman with me collapsing. But I was also shocked and probably judgmental about pollution, and just the whole process was amazing.
Hold on. In our Pacific Ocean, there is a Pacific garbage patch, which is as big as Texas. And I think there's three of them now. So, you know, one time, this is a very important point, and I appreciate you bringing it. Thank you. One time, I was out in the outback in Australia, and I was in a very specific place where we actually had to fly private planes in because there was no way to get in. And there was this Aboriginal settlement, and it was made by probably the government because it had houses and all of these very specific kind of Western things, which is fine. You know, no complaint. But around was a mess. Just a horrid mess. Now, people can pick up their mess, but they're going to end up in the garbage patch anyhow. So my point is, around India, at least you can see it where it is. And it is. And it's everywhere. We just package it up so nicely, so sweetly, and put it in the background. Oh, way back here. So we don't have to see it.
Send our garbage to India.
We send our garbage to India. Yeah. And yeah, that's right. And it's good that you noticed that you were judgmental.
Yeah. And I was sad because particularly in Delhi, the air was so bad, and I really felt that was so hard for people. I did go to visit the farm of Vandana Shiva, and do you know her, Shanti Mai? She's wonderful, and she stood up.
Is she an older woman?
Yes.
Yeah, I know who she is, and she's great.
She's amazing. So I went to her farm, and that was like a pristine jewel amidst all the, it's not so far from where we were in Rishikesh. Yeah. But no, it was an immense experience, and I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful to you. So just, yeah, so much love.
You know, when I first went to India, there was no trash at all. And all the bags were made of newspapers, and people had jobs. And for 1 rupee or let's say 20 bags for 1 rupee at that time, because my rent for my room was 400 rupees a day.
Come on.
A day. 400 rupees, $10 a day.
That was a nice
friend.
Much cheaper.
Now it's
500 rupees plus the room.
500 rupees?
Yeah, yeah.
It was 10 rupees a month is what it was. Yeah. Or $10 a month is what it was. Yeah, excuse me. So people would, $10 a month. $10 a month, yes. But the rupee was much more valuable at that time. But anyhow, people would make lovely bags out of newspapers. And they might have to make a stack of 20 or 100 to get a rupee. That's what was laying on the floor. The Westerners have brought all that shit into India. All the stores, there was not a store there when I was first there. Not a store. One across the Ganges, way down near the post office, was one store. There was one tea stall on the other side. There was one tea stall up near the Shiva Mandir. And there were a few restaurants and a couple teeny little stores. And when the Westerners started coming in, thank God they did. Just to lay your eyes on the Ganges is great grace. But they didn't take care. All the trash goes down the side. Whose trash is that? That's the traveler's trash. I am 100% a witness to India not being filled with trash in 1988.
Yeah.
And those newspaper, they just went with the rain. So don't be judgmental on India about it. And I remember when potato chips came into, first bag of potato chips came into Lakshmanjula. They went like this. For 20 rupees, 15 rupees, you can get 100 kilos of potatoes. They were so angry about it. Why are you charging us like this? And then finally it fell into their taste buds. But but India was much different, much more sattvic all the way around. It's always true that India has some problem with some cleanliness facility, but not with trash.
Yeah.
Don't you love what I just said?
Yeah.
I love you. That's easy.
Too. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. Come to India.
The hole that was there, that was so immense. Was the place where Maharaji is placed, there was just so much light. It was absolutely incredible. I would just go there and bathe and feel him. And I could feel like a giggle, immensity of the Ganges. It was just so immense. So just thank you. It was just...
I'm glad you had that experience, because in my fortunate sadhana, I had that experience every single day for 30 years. Mm. Namaste.
Namaste. Big love. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so no more hands can go up because we have a lot of hands already up. Hello, Gabriella. Mm-hmm. How are you? Oh, Sahara. Wait a minute. Sahara has to come first. Sahara, because he's out. He's in line. That's why. Otherwise, we could put him second. But he will not have it. Hello, Sahara.
Namaste, Shanti Mai. I wanted to say much of what you had just said about the natural state of India, the state of India prior to Western influence. We watched a movie together once that was set in the 1930s or 40s. It was black
right
and white.
There in Lakshmanjula, right there in Lakshmanjula. It was about Siddhartha.
If you just watch. And you see the background in that, everything is super clean.
Very pristine.
Like, it just absolutely pristine. There's been a disruption in the last 40 or 50 years, but India is reacting and recovering and responding, I think, very strongly.
I think India, excuse me, Sahar, I think India is going to lead the world in... Eco management.
Same. In 2017, I think it was Uttarakhand realized that the rights of the rivers, the Yamuna and the Ganga, as persons.
That's right. They pronounced them as persons. That happened in New Zealand as well, by the way.
There's the generations. Just younger than my own, and then the one following, they're very, very aware of what's necessary to get India back on track ecologically. And
I want to get back to satsang.
Understood, Shanti Mai.
Okay, I appreciate what you say too, because that if you look up on YouTube on the Siddhartha, and in India, the Indian film in the 1950s, 60s, somewhere around there. You'll see how extremely pristine everything was. It's right there in Lakshmanjula. Huh? It's right there in Kamala. What's the name of it? Kamalawala. There's one.
Kamali Kamalawala.
What's the first word?
Kamali Kamalawala.
No. Isn't it? No. Amali Kamalawala.
Kamali Kamalawala.
Kamali Kamalawala. No. Anyhow.
It's right. Om Baba Kali Kamliwala Rishikesh.
Who said it?
Sarush. Om Baba Kali Kamliwala Rishikesh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I wish we had satsang now. I really do. Anyhow, thank you, Sahara. Namaste. We're going to get back to it because Gabrielle will pull us back in. Is that true?
That is true. Shanti Mai, namaste. I had a wonderful time with chapter 17 of the Bhagavad Gita. I now started the transmission for the 18th, but I'm still stuck. Well, and it goes on at first with the sattvic qualities of penance, charity, and sacrifice. And I have a new word. I have the word penance strongly resonated for me, and I looked it up, and I've been with it for a while now, and have been considering many things around it. At first, when you look it up, you get all the old biblical and punishing meanings of it, and of course, it's clear that it can't be that. And your transmission made it very clear that penance is love. And what strongly landed with me was this opportunity to look at how could I do it better? How yeah. could I do it differently? This and everything that was said before reminded me that you gave me the sadhana of cease judgment.
Yes.
Cease being judgmental. And it's everything I look at in the Bhagavad Gita, when certain things get stuck in my awareness, it all leads to the same.
Always good fortune for you.
Always. Always. Because it always leads me to this point of first looking at me and then noticing I'm becoming so much aware of what's going on around me. And penance is a wonderful word. Penance is this principle, how it is described and how it is something never to be renounced unless, I suppose, you're like Bodhidharma, don't renounce anything anymore. But well, until then.
Yes. Penance is the opportunity to be with oneself in a semi-critical, gentle
yes.
way.
Yes.
And critique all.
Yes.
Huh? So it's not, it's as you say, it's not punishment, it's refurbishing. It's renovating. It is the possibility to say, wow, you know, I remember one time, many years ago, I was upset with somebody here, and they got upset with me, and I got upset with them. And it was during a renovation, and I thought, why did you do it like this? Why did you do it like this? And I felt so deeply, I needed to go to the forest and regurgitate my foolishness. Because I didn't handle it well at all. That was such good fortune.
Mm.
And I cried. This was only a few years ago. It was right here in Tirta Sacha. And I cried. And I wanted to make it so that it was before that ever happened, which is impossible. Me yelling at this person, yelling at them for what? Why would I yell like that? And it really pained me because I love that person with all my heart. And they left me at that moment, which is always your choice. Never did leave. I see them all the time. But it was a real painful moment. So rather than saying, I'm right and you're wrong and you go and who the heck do you think you are and guarding myself and putting myself forward in a big blob of nonsense, I took the pain in my heart, which I would only do, and relished it as a messenger. And it was a sweet messenger, painful, but sweet messenger. And I could never do anything about that situation, never. So what am I going to do differently the next time? Huh? And this is after realization. Years after realization. So mistake, make better. Wouldn't one see the mistake as possibly making better? Not otherwise. You can't do it otherwise, right? So sweet. Excuse me. Go ahead, no, please.
I find that it's always a process of discernment. I had a little conversation with Adhikari about the difference between being judgmental, even in a positive sense, and being discerning and supporting. And when I meet people, I met a few people in Sangha, in Sacha House, and afterwards there were some situations where I questioned whether I had been judgmental or whether I was just telling people how much I loved them and how what a joy it is to be around them. And it's such a fine line sometimes, and I'm not very used to being gentle with me in that way, not being judgmental but gentle. So it's this penance realization or exploration is all going into that direction, and not only looking at myself, but also looking around me and just hearing, listening, noticing, and just taking it all in and letting it do whatever it does in there.
Did Adhikari make it clear that judgment is kind of cementy, and it really creates a vision of who you think these people,
yes,
or this situation is, and it sticks around, and you will defend it, and it will be the way you see it. And
yes,
discernment is seeing the things as they are, and it just dissolves. If somebody comes to your door, that you can see, you can discern that this is a thief. You're not going to let them in. So there, but it's done. It doesn't hang around, like it doesn't create a world of your self-righteousness.
And also in the positive direction, I noticed the difference.
Wait a minute, that is positive.
Oh, yeah. I meant the positive judgment as the difference between telling something, oh, you're so this and you're so that, you're so wonderful, you're so, or using a different language that does not cement this duality, you are so this and I am not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But judgment sticks around.
Yeah.
It hangs around. We can go back for it and pick it up from yesterday and say, oh, yeah, but you've been like this. Oh, but you've been like that. And let's collect all of our ammunition that we created in judgment. And let's just blast the hell out of this situation righteously. And discernment just doesn't do that. Discernment sees it for what it is, knows it can change. We'll deal with it as it is. I'm not going to do, just like today with this situation that Sri and I are in, huh? I'm not, but, and you know what's really wonderful? Love is ever there.
Yeah. That's the difference, yeah.
The people think love is, you do what I want you to do, and then we'll be fine. Huh? Mm-hmm. Then we can be yummy together. Once you do what I want you to do, and if you don't do what I don't want you to do, it's not love. Wow, what kind of weird thought is that? Yeah. I love you no matter what you are, no matter how you act. I love you because at your core, and you're obvious to me, extremely beautiful, and all of your processes, whatever they are, God bless them. And may you get it. May you see for yourself so that you are at peace with yourself in your life. Get there. If you want. If you don't want, fine. I wouldn't go anywhere else. I can't imagine being anywhere else. I can't imagine walking this road for any other reason than to hone my skill, whatever that is, to be at peace and to never, ever, ever defy love. And it's not easy. And it's also not difficult. It's what you want. What do you want? Isn't it what you want? I mean, renunciation is to give up all of your desires, to put your desire towards your heart and soul. No matter what anybody thinks. Last week, Ken came up with, well, these people want to know if I'm a disciple or if I'm... Go away. Leave me alone. I'm having a cup of coffee here. Enjoy your coffee, too. What's it your business? What's it your business? What I am internally functioning in my life. Be it good for me. Be it good for you. That's what I would say. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing, penance. It's a wonderful thing to go to the forest and cry your eyes out over your error of how to handle things. And it just gets so clear and so tender and so beautiful and so, thank you. Huh? Thank you for the bad experience. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for everything. Yeah. No, I have to be right in this bad experience. I'm going to turn it around so that I am righteous and I am, and everybody else is. That's a really hard place to be. It's like a grinder on the soul, isn't it? Really shredding. How dare you think that you're going to hold yourself like that around me? You will not. I won't have it. I won't have it. Means I won't be a part of anybody's life who will. You can go off and do whatever you want. I'm not going to judge you for it, but I will not have it around me. Yeah. You must at least see the value of love. That's all. If you don't see that, we don't have anything in common whatsoever. And that's a big field, isn't it? Wow. Wow. It's like the whole of space. Mm-hmm. You have something else there?
Love you, Shanti Maya.
Love you too.
Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you, Gabrielle.
Mm.
Tara, what's up?
Namaste, Shanti Maya.
Namaste.
Yeah, listening to you, I found out that I'm analytical to this last transmission of renunciation. And for me, it felt like to renounce like smoking or to make a mess out of my room. So it's the outer world.
Well, it could be. It could be. It could be any little thing.
Yes. And for me, it's more obvious to train my system or my being to renounce making a mess or smoking so that I can say yes to something else that I don't know at this moment.
That's a very beautiful way to look at it. Very, very beautiful way to look at it. So that I can say yes to another way. Yeah. Very, very wonderful, Tara. Good language. It touches my heart very deeply how you put it. And I've never heard anyone say it like that before. But now, yeah, I can give this, huh? And I can have something exciting and new, and I can go a different way. I can... Yeah, this is beautiful. Thank you. Go ahead, please. Now you're stuck. Oh, hold on. Okay, now you're back. So go ahead, please. I didn't get anything because you were stuck there for a moment.
Yes, the internet is slow, so I'm happy that it's working in this way. So with this, I have to go back to that place.
Renunciation.
Yes, and it is easy for me to cease hating. That was my sadhana, or is my sadhana, of course, and to cease making a mess. And so also the judging, to judge. And I had this gather.
Wait a minute. That's enough for a few lifetimes.
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah.
That's what I said. That's what I'm saying now. You don't need a pile of sadhana. One sadhana.
No.
Wait a minute. One sadhana opens up many doors. Okay, go ahead, please.
Listen to that you said it can take lifetimes. I can see it with people. So I'm also not in a hurry. If I share something, I do not expect that it has to happen now in this moment. It can be any time.
That's for someone else, not you.
Okay.
No, that's right. That's right. And it can take a long time and it can take a short time. We don't time it. It can happen in a flash that you see something that you just are done with. And then it can also dissolve slowly, slowly. We're just getting the job done. That's all. Nope. Yeah. Who cares how long it takes?
Yes, and in this week, I think a lot happened. We did the job, and so there's so much love, so much energy that I was thinking about the skillfulness. Is the skillfulness to transform, or is there another skill to deal with so much love?
No, just love. That's the greatest skill of all, and it will be challenging. It's incredibly challenging at times. So it's not just a smile and a sweetness. Sometimes it's like climbing a cliff, but there's never a no for that. There's never a no for that. And in that way, love will always serve you really amazingly so. Amazingly so. Oh. You don't know until they get there. Mm-hmm. Until you cannot say no ever again to love. You may say no to all kinds of things, but you can't say no to love. Then the service of love is, well, it's the whole universe.
I didn't hear you.
It's the whole universe in form, coming and going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Love is the foundation to everything. Wisdom, for sure.
Yeah, it's on one way, it's more easy, but on the other one hand, it's more challenging, and that's beautiful.
That's
beautiful.
It's easier and easier the deeper you move into it, or the deeper you permit it to move into you, or however you see that. It gets clearer and clearer and simpler and simpler. And still challenging at times. You're frozen again, dear Tara. Tara.
I'm here. I can hear you, but
okay.
I love you.
Okay, good?
Thank you. Yes, I love you. Namaste.
Well, I love you. That's easy. Easy, easy peasy. Namaste.
Namaste.
Hey, Jakob.
Hello, Shanti Mai.
How are you? That's an American way to say, how are you?
Yeah, I don't really know what that question means.
It means, how the heck are you? That's what it means. It's very clear. It just means, how are you doing? Yeah. Are you upset? Are you happy? Is your day good? Is it a pile of crap? How are you?
I'm energetic.
Good. See, you learned something already.
Every day.
Yeah, of course.
I wrote something yesterday that I would like to share.
Please.
It's called "Why Am I Here?" ?
Mm-hmm.
What is this life that grows this body and feeds on it to regenerate? What is this spark that pumps the heart, grows the trees, blows the wind, and moves the waters? What is this I which is put in this body, and why is and or am I here? Who sends these visions I have seen, and who is the voices that I've heard? What is this light that I see that I cannot see? And what is this sound that I can say that I cannot say, or hear that I cannot hear? How can I hear the light and see the sound? How can I be all that and know that I am that? How can I be all there is and nothing can be? What is my name and what am I saying?
Well,
yeah.
You are all that, and guess what? You asked all the questions that have no answer. I love it. I love it. I love it. Ooh, it's so yummy. Yeah. All the questions that have not even an answer ever.
Yeah, it was a bit of a... What can I say? A twisting in here.
Well, that's the beauty of your poetry, is that you're left to yourself without any definition whatsoever that can bind you whatsoever. Remember, Bodhidharma did not know who he was. His name has lasted over... Gee, I think Anyhow, I don't know how long. I think he was in the 5,000s. And he didn't know who he was. Why didn't he know who he was? Because there's no language to define. That's why silence is so beautiful, Yucca. And the appreciation of nature.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to meet you.
Yeah, likewise. Likewise.
I'm very happy to meet you. I was happy to meet you in Germany.
Me too. Me too.
You're a deep soul. You're asking questions that that a Mahatma would ask. You can't take any pride in all of that. The more Mahatma you are, the less you are.
The thing is, I don't know where they come from.
Well, they come from your heart and soul. That's where they come from.
Yeah. And what is that?
That is your receptivity or your refusal.
My what? Sorry?
Your receptivity or your refusal. Be at peace with Yucca. Yeah, with Yucca, be at peace. I would say that is your dive into the ocean. I hope I get to meet you again in person.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Very much.
Yeah, you can write as often as you want. You can send poetry to me. I will respond if it needs responding, or I'll just enjoy it. Whatever. Huh? I'm very happy that we have a relationship.
Me too.
I call it an elationship. We take the re off.
Elationship.
How about that?
I'll have to chew on that.
I'll chew heartily.
Thank you, Shantimai.
Thank you, too. Thank you, too. Namaste.
Namaste.
We have two more hands up, and then we close this. Oh, only one. We close our satsang. If there's two people there, or is there only one? Yeah, I can't hear you. So, yeah, your sound is not on. There, now it is.
Hi, now yes?
Where are you from? Have I ever met you?
I am from Argentina, and she's from Hong Kong.
Okay.
The first time we are here in the satsang.
Okay. How did you learn about the satsang?
I was with the community of Om Baba. He also was a following of your
master. Yeah, Om Baba, that's
indeed.
Right.
Yes.
Om Parkins.
Yes.
No. Om Baba from the ashram in Sachidam.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay. Now I have a clear who it is. Mm-hmm.
So I was studying the master of him, and that I find you also was fine with this the same master.
Yes.
Yeah, for that we are here.
Yes. Yes, Maharaji was my guru.
So I have a question. Is all the books I read, well, not all, but a few books, they say we can find all the answers inside of us.
Yes.
In silence.
Wait a minute. Did you just see what happened with Jakob?
With Jakob?
Yes. Did you see that he had no answer?
Yes, too.
Wait a minute, but he came to it in a very deep and profound questioning. So just to say there's no answer, that's too shallow. But to ask the question where it just leaves you at peace or it leaves you in silence and it doesn't have a word that follows, it doesn't have a definition that follows. I'm getting cold chills. It's wonderful. That there's no way that that question can be settled except for in silence. That's what's meant by finding the answer within.
For example, if the question is, who am I? And the answer is silence and more silence.
Well, there's no answer.
Okay.
Forget that answer. Okay. What about if you're noisy? Where do you go? You're everything and nothing at all. And so how do you define that? You know, if you're only silence, then what happens when you're at a dancing and at a rock concert? Are you somewhere other than yourself? No. You're always yourself. If you silence displays a new silence displays a language within it. That's all I can say. You are neither silence nor, you cannot be defined. Silence shows that that's true. There's no word that can define you. None. I'm very touched by how you received that. Whatever blows your mind will be a great blessing. Whatever throws your mind into whatever question you may ask from the depths of your heart and soul, and the answer does not arise, that's a big blessing. Because I can see in your face, both of you, the incredible receptivity and silence that your mind had. Maybe it does now, maybe it did, but had settled. If you want answers, the greatest answer does not come in language. It comes just beyond language through experience. Like, have you sat on the Ganges?
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Does it take your thoughts away?
Yes, yes.
Sometimes, yes. Other times, no.
Yeah, well, if you permit it, it will.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to talk, you can talk. If you want to visit, you can visit. If you want to think, you can think. If you want to meditate, you can meditate. But the Mother Ganges, she was once my guru before Maharaji. She will give you the opportunity to be very still, very present, very silent, and in that is a discovery. But you don't have to be like that all the time. You can go to the chai shop, you can go to the dress shop, you can dance, you can do whatever you do, and you're still that one that you cannot define in silence. You're never anything but that, ever. And when you discover that that's so, you'll see, oh my God, this has always been so. I have never been far from myself It's impossible. You remember this one lovely woman here in Satsang today? She said, I'm so glad to be connected to you. There's no such thing as disconnect. Not if you see things as they are. You may think there's disconnect, but there's not. Mature. See it. You see this picture of Maharaji in the background?
Yes.
That's a drawing from my brother. I show you closer. Let me see if I can get it. Nice, no?
Very beautiful, yes.
Yeah, very good drawing, no doubt. Yeah. He never met Maharaji. But Maharaji met him in that drawing. It's nice to meet you, too.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, namaste.
Thank you.
Come back if you want.
Thank you.
Yeah. Namaste. So, satsang is complete.
Huh? There's one more person.
Is there one more person? Ah, Yashodhara. Yes.
Namaste, Shantimai.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to share with you something. And that is that last week we were together with Maha Kamala and Susanne, Tuyoka, Hiro, her name is, and Priya, and not a few other women. And we were practicing. And in the end of the weekend, for me, it came that my intention or the sadhana is to be in peace. And
very important.
It is such a wonderful sadhana, also challenging. And today or yesterday, these days, I realized, as my mother was always saying, you have to be, I don't know in English, to freedom means it's different than peace, in being in peace. It's like you have to be satisfied with what you have. And I had always difficulty with that.
Well, she's right.
Go maybe ahead. She is, but I was always...
Oh, no, not maybe she is. She is, period. Go ahead.
Very good. Okay.
She's a weak. Do you not see the rightness in her words? Gratitude is one of the cleanest. It takes depression and anxiety away. Gratitude takes away all confusion. And gratitude takes away depression and anxiety, 100%. Oh, it does. If you only see what you have, my gosh, just the painting behind your head, just the roof over your head, just the food in your day, just the day rises and you're here. Your mother's 100% accurate, right on. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with you 100% on gratitude. And she would also tell me.
That's what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. Your mother's given you a jewel. Mm-hmm. Love her.
I do. She would also say, count your blessings. And I love that one, too. That's same, one I...
Same. Very, very, very wise words. And I bet you a dollar to a donut. That's an American statement. A dollar to a donut that your mother lives it.
Theresa in the other world.
Well, when she was not, when she was in this world, I bet
she did. She did. We had a beautiful song in the Catholic Church, was that's counting your blessings. That was song. And so we were very together in that. Yeah, but that's interesting. You know, I don't have no problem with, I agree with gratitude and with counting your blessings.
Seemed like you did. It sounded to me like you had a little bit of a problem with that. So I got
this,
real
this being to freedom, which I have to see what's in English. It's like I felt it wouldn't take you further than what, you know, like.
Oh, it'll take you as far. It'll take you to heaven.
Okay. I'll check what that word means in English. But I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah. It takes all. It takes all. Constriction out of you. Go ahead. I'm glad you brought it up. I'm very glad that you brought it up because it applies to everything. And I'm just really, really grateful that, see, I'm grateful. What happens when you're grateful? You're even with all of life. Are we done, really? Okay.
God well, now at least.
Okay, you showed that up. I'm really happy that you brought it up. I'm really happy that you were a little bit resistant, and I'm glad we got to speak about it. Thank you. Namaste.
Thank you. Namaste.
Premo's going to chant for us the Kali Mantra. It's so, so, so beautiful. Namaste, everyone. Good satsang. Good, from all of you. Really, thank you for everything.
Sarva Mangala Mangalaye Shive Sarvat Sadike Sharanaye Trayamake Gauri Narayani Namostute Shrishti Shtiti Vinashanam Shakti Bhute Sanatani Gunasraye Gunamaye Narayani Namostute Sharanagatinata paritran parayane Sarvashat kriharadivi narayani namostute Kali Kali Mahakali Kali Kepaparini Dharmakam pradivi narayani namostute kali kali mahakali kali ke paparini sarva vighna hridivi narayani namostute o jayatan mangala kali bhadra kali kapalini Durgaksham Shivadatri Swaha Swadham Namo Stute Om Nama Sarva Mangala Mangalaye Shive Sarvat Sarike Sharanaye Trayamake Gauri Narayani Namo Stute Shrishti Shtiti Vinashyanam Shakti Bhute Sanatani Kunasraye Gonamaye Narayani Namostute Sharanagatina Taparitran Parayane Sarvashyatre Haridevi Narayani Namostute Kali Kali Mahakali Kali Ke Paparini Dharmakam Pradedevi Narayani Namostute Kali Kali Mahakali Kali Ke Paparini Sarva Vikna Haridevi Narayani Namostute O Jayatan Mangala Kali Bhadra Kali Kapalini Durga Ksham Shivadatri Swaha Swadham Namostute Jai Vedham Dere Cham Jai Buddhatraharini Jai Sarvadate Devi Kalaratri Namostute
Next time you sing the Kali Mantra, sing the J part two or three times.
Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful. It's so, I just love to hear the J part. I love it all, but the J part is so. Victory, victory, victory.
J.
Okay. Namaste, everyone. It's been wonderful to be with you, as usual. Shri, I'll meet you after some time, maybe after you rest, maybe an hour evening. And I think that's it. Namaste, everyone.
Namaste, everybody. A reminder that we're going to stay on now to talk about the Kumbh Mela and Shanti Mai schedule for India next year. So we'll give people just a few seconds to get settled and, anybody who